So one of the best things I've bought from America for myself this time, and at my age, I really appreciate it, for only $15 was a giant 500 bottle of ibuprofen. It's the best thing.
Was it Advil by any chance?
No, it's ibuprofen. It's the proper stuff.
Oh. No, it was in the brand name.
No, it was a CVS ibuprofen.
So not only are you the age where you're popping ibuprofen like Smarties, but you're also of the age where actually I don't need a name brand, I just need the core,
Yeah.
the active ingredient.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. And welcome to the All-Star Cast, episode 129.
133.
There's a weird echo in the room of the Host Unknown podcast. Welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to our... Well, we've actually got the three of us together again. It's incredible.
Welcome to our show, Jeff.
Yeah.
You guys are so funny. You're so cute.
We're hilarious. Hilarious. Mind you, I don't know why I'm laughing. I was out the week before. So, so
welcome to my show, guys. It's good to have you on.
Hang on. You were out only a few weeks before that.
Thanks for having me on your show, people.
I tell you what, he's pretty adaptable, this fella, Jav, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He'd make a great auditor.
He would. Wouldn't want to work for him, though. What a... Oh, dear. So, gents, I trust you're well. Jav, how has your 3 weeks been, or whatever it was?
Oh, it was great. I was in Florida for 2 weeks. The last few days I got caught in a bit of a hurricane, which is my first proper experience. Like, the hurricanes we get in the UK are not like the hurricanes they do over there. Everything has to be bigger and more outrageous in the States. But I was back. I flew back last Friday, which is why I couldn't be on the show. I got here on Saturday, and then on Sunday evening I flew out to Zurich for another event. So
yay!
You know, I'm desperately trying to maintain my silver status on BA.
God, it's terrible when you're desperately trying to maintain not even the top status, right?
Yeah. I know, but I know.
It's like we've kind of all taken it in turns to do excessive travel.
Yeah. Mine finished a long time ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then I took the baton for a bit, and now... Now, Jav seems to be all.
I don't know why he keeps wanting to go to all these foreign countries. I just don't get it.
Me neither.
No. So, Andy, what about you? How's your week been?
Not too bad at all. Can't complain, except I will complain.
Of course, good.
I actually hurt my hand yesterday quite badly.
Was it in a freak masturbatory accident?
Almost. That was that probably didn't help it, but no. What occurred? As I was walking from the station to the office, a guy
you were doing it in public, for goodness
light.
Sake.
I know, but this guy, taxi driver, actually blew the red light and almost hit me and multiple other people.
What?
And as he was passing by, I tried to smash his back window with my fist.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was actually really hard to smash. It didn't smash.
Wow.
I gave it a good solid haymaker and ended up with bruised knuckles and a blood blister on one of the knuckles, where it was obviously, as it was pulling off, it rubbed really hard. And
sorry, we're back to the other thing now.
Yes, but this guy next to me, he ran after me. He goes, I'm going to get his number plate. Like, took a photo. And...
We've got terrible memories that we can't remember, like, seven digits, and we have to take a photo of it.
Yeah,
I know, but I was like, dude, I was like, I'm over it now. Like,
you know,
I got it out of my system. Like, what are you gonna do? Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, Andy, but if your hand's still hurting, I've got some ibuprofen you can borrow.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking, right? You know, in the UK, you can't buy more than what, like, two packets at a time in a single transaction, can you? So, you know, yeah, I'll be on my way over to dip my hand into the lucky dip jar.
Well, you know, get in the queue because he's bootlegging them to the street.
So, talking to people that use ibuprofen, Tom, how's your week been?
Yeah, very good, very good. I have a I had a rare week.
Cod liver oil, obviously, to keep the joints.
Cod liver oil. Yeah. So I had a week at home, although had to go in yesterday into London for
drive a taxi.
Some face-to-face meetings. I was in a bit of a rush, and some muppet. I heard this bang on the back of my car. I couldn't work out what it was, but no, I had to go into London and for a bunch of face-to-face meetings. And then that morning, as I was on the, you know, as I walked into the office, the guy said, "I'm not well. We'll do it remote." I was like, oh, great! You know, I was up at bloody half past five to get in on time. Yeah. And then the next follow-up meetings were the same. It's like, no, can't make it. Let's do it. Let's reschedule to next week. So I was like, Jesus, you know, like 200 quid of not my own money, in fairness, so that's fine, but of travel for,
it's just
for
the hassle,
literally
though,
just sitting in the office, not having a meeting. But hey, you know, that welcome to hybrid working, right?
Yeah.
What a way, the ugly side that no one tells you about.
Okay, so shall we see what we've got coming up for us today? Well, this week in InfoSec talks about rebranding. Rant of the week is a look at the ongoing shit show going on at Twitter. Oh, no, hang on. It's a football World Cup privacy nightmare. Billy Big Balls is a story about Australia fighting back. Industry News brings us latest and greatest security news stories from around the world, and Tweet of the Week is a relatable tax scam. So, let's move on to our favourite part of the show, part of the show that we like to call...
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account and further afield. And although we said we'll be talking about rebranding, and we are going to be talking about rebranding, something completely different to what we said we'd talk about because I didn't update the show notes from last week. So our first story is a prediction of the future. And this is from 22 years ago. So just a year older than I am. On the 12th of November 2000, Microsoft declared that tablets are the future. And at the time, Bill Gates demonstrated a functional prototype of a tablet PC, making the claim that the tablet PC will represent the next major evolution in PC design and functionality. And he was not wrong in his statement. However, the tablet PC initiative never actually took off. And it wasn't until Apple introduced the iPad 10 years later in 2010 that the tablet was actually widely adopted. And they do give sort of various reasons for its failure. Or, you know, people have sort of tried to understand what the issues were. Firstly, you know, they say they just merely tried to adapt Windows.
Yeah, and the technology wasn't there.
Yeah, because it was designed for use with a keyboard and mouse, right? So you had to have this sort of touch screen and pen, and people didn't really just take to the interface. They're saying that it appeared to be going backwards in that you had this futuristic tech, but using a pencil and paper style format where you actually wrote on it. So it didn't really take that. And which is ironic because now, obviously, you know, I was just talking to you guys this week about the magic keyboard and the magic pen for the iPad and like whether or not it's worth it.
So
20 years ago or 22 years ago, Mr. Bill Gates said that this was the future. And
I think it's interesting though, isn't it? Because the, I think Apple and Steve Jobs did get it right with the iPad. They actually got it into a form factor. I've still got my first gen iPad, which I use as a picture frame now, and it's still a lovely piece of kit. It feels right. It's the right size. It's the right weight. You know, blah blah, all that sort of stuff. And it was right for the time. Whereas 12 years before, it was just a clunky piece of kit with a bad screen. And as you say, a poor interface. I mean, but flash forward now, the Surface, Microsoft Surface laptops or laptop stroke tablets are actually pretty damn good. They're good pieces of kit. The tech has finally caught up and they've started to adapt the interface so that it flicks between being a tablet and being a computer, you know, quite seamlessly.
Yeah. I also think that the iPad, for those who are old enough to remember, that was really when the BYOD really began to kick off, because executives loved the iPad. Yeah. And they brought it into the office. They were like, make it work, I don't care.
That spawned
the whole like BYOD and MDM sort of world. And
Good Inc. was the one of the key players.
Exactly.
They were huge on BlackBerry at the time, weren't they?
Yes.
That's kind of where it came from. So with the BlackBerry stuff and then the iPad stuff, iPad and iPhone, as the BlackBerry the BlackBerry stuff declined because the iPad and the iPhone kicked off, I think.
Yes. It did, because BlackBerry had that captive market because of their secure messaging, and IT could just lock it down and give it to you so you could just make phone calls and read emails and not do much else on it. But the iPad really changed
it. Plus it had a physical keyboard as well.
Yes, which I was a big fan of. I still maintain I'm a big fan of it. The form factor was really good for that. I think it was a big game changer in that regard. And actually, if you see, like, perhaps stretching it a little bit, but we wouldn't have been so well equipped to deal with lockdown and remote working had it not been for those humble beginnings from BYOD that the iPad initiated.
I don't think you're far wrong, to be honest with you. I don't think you're far wrong.
Yeah, I'm never wrong.
I don't think you're far wrong, but I do think you're stretching it. I mean, we are talking about, you know, two decades worth of technology progressing during that time.
Yeah, but if you take away the entire, you know, tablet, work from home, work anywhere, bring your own device type stuff, we'd still be on bloody desktops. Still be on, you know, dialing in, well, maybe not dialing infrastructure, but, you know, we'd still
dial IP where it calls you back.
Yeah, exactly. Or we'd still be having to VPN into an office, and then when, you know, which catered for 10% of the workforce.
Yeah. No, anyway, it was a game changer. It was he wasn't wrong. Bill Gates was not wrong when he said tablets were the future.
He just didn't get it right.
Yeah, they just weren't his tablets. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're talking about 500 tablets from CVS. They're the future, according to Mr. Mate. Alas, our second story takes us back a mere 4 years to the 17th of November 2018. And I slipped this one in because I did not realise it was so recent. And this is when US President Donald Trump signed a bill into law approving the creation of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, a.k.a. CISA. The bill was the CISA Act, or the CISA Act, depending on who's speaking with what accent. And so CISA, you probably realise, it actually got promotion to the rank of federal agency, which put it on the same level as the US Secret Service or FEMA, even though it's still under the Department of Homeland Security's oversight. But the agency was expected to improve the cybersecurity defences across other US federal agencies, coordinate cybersecurity programmes with states, and bolster the government's overall cybersecurity protections in the face of mundane criminals and nation-state hackers. And it's hard to believe that this type of thing actually happened under Trump's administration.
Well, was that who Krebs worked for? The other Krebs?
It was, yes. Christopher Krebs, yes.
And then he got fired by a tweet.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
See, Trump was doing that before it was cool as well.
Yeah, I know.
Elon learned from the daddy.
Exactly. He's the Bill Gates to Apple. Just do it differently.
Whenever I see CISA, all I can think of is the Certified Information Security Auditor.
Yeah, same.
Of ISACA. It just doesn't sit right as a, you know, an agency at all.
No. Or an acronym. No. Yeah.
They should have at least done a basic internet search, you know?
Oh, no. You should, yeah. They really need to. But the problem is that ISACA and ISC Square, they create so many certifications now that, you know, they probably, if they didn't have so many other certifications, you could probably, you know, keep that as a, you know, premium. You know, like the good domains, like toplevel domains.coms, but they sort of spun off into like a .org, .co.uk, .co.nz, and it's like now no one cares. It's just, it's a free-for-all. Anyone can get whatever they want.
It doesn't matter if it's a .com or a .london was one I saw the other day, or a .whatever, it doesn't matter.
Speaking of IC Squared, just while we're on there, I cannot understand any of the emails that come through, like the voting for board is open, director elections, this, that, the other, proxy voting instructions. But in the last 4 weeks, I've received 3 emails reminding me that my annual maintenance fee is due in December. And that is very clear.
Very clear.
So, you know, if I don't pay by December, it's due in December. If I don't pay by March, then like, you know, I probably lose my certification. The question I put to you, gentlemen, is should I pay or not?
Oh, same. So are we talking about ISC Squared, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what? I am really not sure. I'm in two minds about just that. What about you, Andy?
You know,
I would pay.
Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah, but you'd pay for a, you know, the entire Adobe software stack and not use it. you're not exactly a reliable source of economic advice on this one.
It is like, if you just think all the money you've put into it over the years, all of those CPUs you've logged, all of the events you've done, it's that, just
sound like a someone on the slot machines fallacy. In Vegas.
Yeah, it's a sunk cost fallacy, man. It's got us where we
need to
be.
Do you know what? I used to work for a company that allowed me to expense all costs for certification. So now I don't. I'll see whether I maintain that same appetite. But,
you know, it's not even about the cost. It's just the principle. It's like, oh, man, you know what? Do I want to be? The only thing I'm worried about is I let it lapse and I'm happy. And then, for some reason, my job changes.
You get sacked. You have to join another company, and they say, you don't have a CISP.
Yeah, sorry, we can't employ you. It's a mandatory requirement. That's the only thing, honestly.
I have to say, at this stage of your life, I think if they said, "Oh, you got to have a CISP," I think you'd be able to give them two fingers and go elsewhere.
You know, I don't know, man. It's one of those.
There's a lot of people out there with CIWSPs, Tom.
Yeah,
Jav's not really standing out from the crowd. You know,
you like to think that's the truth.
Well, not at 5'2". He's not.
Oh, piss off. Move on.
All right, that was this week's.
This week in InfoSec.
Feeling overloaded with actionable information?
Yep.
Fed up receiving well-researched, factual security content?
Yes.
Ask your doctor if the Host Unknown podcast is right for you.
Always read the label, never double dose on episodes. Side effects may include nausea, eye rolling, and involuntary swearing in anger.
All right, talking of involuntary swearing and anger, let's go to...
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to mother rage!
I can't believe Andy got me to talk about football.
It was going to happen one day. It was either football or wrestling. I was trying so hard.
So the headline, Germany says 9 to Qatari World Cup spyware... Apps, not spyware. So, if... you have been living under a non-football rock like I have, you may not be aware that there is a World Cup going on, apparently, in Qatar. Not a clue about this, but hey, there is a World Cup, Football World Cup, going on in Qatar. There has been a fair amount, although in fairness on the news, there's been a fair amount of noise about Qatar's ethics and morals and the way they treat their people and minorities and, you know, for instance, LGBTQ people, et cetera, et cetera, and how it's a little bit of an oppressive government, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we know this. We know that it is Qatar. But for some reason, and I can't think why, money, the FAA awarded the Qatari government the World Cup. I think this is the, I think the last place that had the World Cup was Russia. Is that correct?
Russia has hosted the World Cup before, yeah.
That was the one before the Qatari, though, wasn't it? Qatar. I don't know.
Do you know what? I actually can't remember that far back. It's only 4 years, but I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Russia, which, it was again, Russia, not sure.
Was it Brazil? Or one of those?
Oh, who knows? Okay. Who knows? Anyway, the point trying to make is that it was quite a contentious decision to have it awarded it to Qatar in the first place. Now, people are travelling there. Some people are boycotting it. I think... Wasn't Ariana Grande supposed to be singing there or something, and then she cancelled based on the human rights of Qatar? Sorry?
All the football fans are devastated.
I know, yeah. I know. I'm selling my tickets right now on the black market. I mean, that's... Forget it. Sorry.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people are highlighting some of this. Now, the Qatari government obviously don't care. That's not a problem for them. They've got the World Cup. They've got what they needed. However, in order to enter the country, you have to download a couple of apps, a COVID-19 tracker from the Qatari Ministry of Public Health and an app called Havia from the government's Supreme Committee for Delivery and Legacy, overseeing the cup locally, which allows ticket holders entry into the stadiums and access to free metro and bus transportation services. Now, what Germany has found is that both these apps ask for an inordinate amount of access to your phone. And the bottom line is they think you're going to be tracked. You're going to have your movements tracked. They're going to listen into your conversations, etc., etc. Even Norway's data protection agency said that it was alarmed by the extensive access the apps required and warned that Qatari authorities likely use the apps to monitor users' location in addition to snooping through personal data. So there's two parts of this. This is a double-sided rant. So one, you know, building an app under the pretense of hosting, you know, an international event and using it as an opportunity to snoop through people's phones, one is just disgusting and outrageous, etc. The flip side to this is, what did we expect? This is, you know, a country that has an incredibly poor record of you know, abuses to human rights, etc., etc. Of course, it's going to do this. It's like, you know, if you went to China, for instance, for a World Cup, and they asked you to download two apps, of course, it's going to snoop on your data. This should come as absolutely no surprise whatsoever. That said, do you remember? I mean, I think it was at RSA a few years back. The RSA conference, even their app screwed up and exposed everybody's data to everybody else. Do you remember that? That was about 2018.
Oh, was it? You were able to see everyone else's details and their phone number. Yeah.
So the flip side to this, again, this is a three-sided coin, is that actually writing an app that allows you to do a whole bunch of things, etc., is sometimes quite hard.
Do you know what? I think genuinely in the RSA case, that was actually, you know, they hired a third party that was just bad at development.
Whereas in this
instance, I think this is by design.
Oh, this is absolutely by design.
The MVP, when the Qatari, you know, people with the purse strings went to the developers, they said, right, first thing on the list, download all the data.
Yeah. I completely agree. I do completely agree. But, you know, it all just adds up to a, are you surprised here? Now, the interesting thing will be is if you go to Qatar and you have to download these, you have to have them in order to get into the events, get into any kind of local facilities. You know, if you haven't got the COVID-19 tracker, you can't check into your hotel, all that sort of thing. That's going to be an interesting part because you're being forced to do this. The answer, of course, is to get a burner phone, but those are expensive and cost money. It's going to be difficult, right? Not everybody can afford it.
Says the man who's got like 15 different iPhones that he doesn't need.
Yeah, exactly.
So many iPhones, he actually takes them apart and mounts them on his wall.
So Tom Langford telling people who've bought like, what, £500 football tickets, like, you know, a grand on like flights and accommodation, that, oh, don't spend £50 on an Android phone that you can pick up at Tesco because it's expensive.
Well, all right, well, people might not even think about doing that either. That's the other thing. It's preying on people's on people's ignorance, right? And anyway, you can give me the phone afterwards and I'll mount it in a frame for you.
See, I think there's a bit of... I get what you're trying to get at, Tom, but it's like, as always, I think you're just like taking the wrong angle on stuff here. It's like there's like, you know...
The human rights angle, you mean?
No, well, you know, you talk about it as if Qatar's the only country that has poor human rights records.
It's the only country in this story that I'm covering, yes.
Yeah, but you make it out as if this is the first country to host the World Cup that is not a bastion of free rights and freedoms and inclusivity because, oh, last time it was in Russia. Yeah, they're really fair and high in human rights. Before that,
that was kind of the point I was making.
It was in Brazil. Oh, you know, oh, why don't we hold it in America? Yes, because they're really big on abortion and women rights and human rights and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, literally, when you go through it, there's hardly any countries. Now, what you're trying to do is shoehorn everything into a Western, very convenient narrative, conveniently forgetting that, you know, even Google this week got fined $400 million for US location tracking probe. So, you know, I think it's while it's an important issue, absolutely, I think the framing of it, just say this is a Qatar issue or just about the World Cup, is incorrect. This is a systemic problem that is embedded within tech overall, and it's a global issue because everyone is living in glass houses.
Okay, wow. So you disagree with this story. You're saying that this is fine because everybody else is doing it.
I've said what I've said. Do not try to put words into my mouth, Piers Morgan.
Stop trying to put words into your mouth. No, that's right. Okay. I'm not convinced you actually heard the first half of what I was talking about anyway. I think you were off.
Irrelevant. I wanted to make a case and make you look bad. Hopefully someone will take the snippet of this and post this to TikTok and, like, you know, Givard destroys Tom Langford on Andy's podcast. Is it?
And when you say hopefully someone, you mean you're going to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, is that why you switch the cameras on for everyone? So,
oh, man. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to your story because for once it's not about actually supporting a criminal.
Rant of the week. Attention, this is a message for all other InfoSec podcasts.
Busted.
We caught you listening again. This is the Host Unknown podcast.
All right, let's move on to the rather, oddly named, because it's certainly not true, Jav's Billy Big Balls of the Week.
So while Tom said, oh, thankfully it's not standing up for the criminals this week, this is where he's wrong, because we go to our favourite penal colony. And I'm standing up with our British Texans, Australians. So the Australia's government has declared, and this is, I can just imagine there's a lot of, like, you know, fists on desk, like, you know, moment where behind closed doors, the someone said, okay, the Australian government declared the nation is planning on going on the offensive against international cyber crooks following high profile attacks on local health insurer Medibank and telco Optus. And this aggressive posture was expressed in an announcement, a joint standing operation that will see, yeah, Andy, phrasing. So that will see the Australian Federal Police and the Australian Signals Directorate, which is their version of GCHQ or the NSA, to run a team with a mission. And the mission is to investigate, target, and disrupt cyber criminal syndicates with a priority on ransomware threat groups. And you know, if this is not like enough bravado enough, their Minister for Home Affairs and Cybersecurity, Claire O'Neill, said the operation will scour the world, hunt down the criminal syndicates and gangs who are targeting Australia in cyber attacks, and disrupt their efforts. This is Australia standing up and punching back.
I think that quote should actually be scour the world, hunt down the criminal syndicates and gangs who are targeting Australia in cyber attacks and disrupt their efforts.
Yes, I think that's more exactly.
And we are not going C-word at the end of that.
We're not going to sit back while our citizens are treated like this and allow there to be no consequences for this. Wow. O'Neill said the operation will be for the first time offensively attacking these people. Honestly, if you just replace ransomware groups with Bin Laden, this could be a George Bush speech just before their attack on Afghanistan.
It's basically saying they don't care what country you're in, they're coming for you.
Yeah, exactly.
The Australian SAS are going to be called in.
Yeah. They're going to parachute in, you know, or maybe parachute in their secret ninja kangaroos, and they're going to, like, come and, like, kick your servers offline.
Right, unleash the ninja kangaroos.
Well, the best defence is going to be emus, isn't it?
Yeah,
Australians can't fight back against emus.
Exactly. Exactly.
But so we have long talked about, or not just us personally, but the industry as a whole, long talked about hacking back is never a good idea. Was historically the conventional wisdom. Are we now saying that hasn't worked? So,
I think the distinction is as a corporate or as an organisation, as a company, do not hack back. I think it's the job of our governments to hack back. I think it's
interesting.
It's something that should be done against criminals. It's a bit like saying you shouldn't. There's no such thing as a civil arrest or whatever it is, you know, and you shouldn't go out and hunt criminals yourself.
Citizens arrest.
Yeah, because you're citizens arrest. Because you're a vigilante. That's the job of the government through the police force, and that effectively is what this is. They're saying that we're going to take the fight to them because you can't do that. You're either, you know, too small, ill-equipped, or you're just going to, you know, create more damage for yourself.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think there's a difference between hacking back and actively prosecuting or going after.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the language used in this is very, like, this isn't prosecute. This is scour the world, hunt down the criminal syndicates and gangs who are targeting Australia.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, and then we're going to kneecap those bastards.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing there about, you know, following the law and prosecuting. This sounds
No. Well,
yeah,
which
that's
is why
political rhetoric. This is political
but
rhetoric.
Again, this is like it is, but it's also worrying that it sounds like it's people who don't really have a clear understanding of what happens in the cyber world to that are making policy and saying, right, go and fuck them up. Like,
Go and get him, Dave. He's definitely worth it.
Yeah, exactly. you know, we just need to be a bit, you know, there needs to be a bit more thought and intelligence, but then we're talking about Australians, so yeah. Good luck. Wow.
Blimey. I'm loving the way
they're all asleep. They won't hear this.
No, this is true. Yeah. This is true. Yeah, but they're asleep in the future, so they've already heard it.
Oh, shit. Good point.
And my internet goes down in 3, 2.
You hear that glass crashing? That's people in black outfits in parachutes jumping through your skylights. Oh, dear. So that was, well, very good story, Jav. I loved the way you turned it around so that the Billy Big Balls was, in your words, actually about criminals.
You're welcome.
Billy Big Balls of the Week. You're listening to the double award-winning Host Unknown podcast.
Okay, time has marched on. If you're listening to this in Australia, or you're listening to it in the future. So, what time it's with you, we don't know. But Andy, what time is it for us here?
It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Google to pay $392 million in landmark privacy case.
Industry news.
Billbug targets government agencies in multiple Asian countries.
Industry news.
Euro authorities warn World Cup fans over Qatari apps.
Industry news.
Majority of companies reduce cybersecurity staff over holidays.
Industry news.
Chinese spy gets 20 years for aviation espionage plot.
Industry news.
US, Iranian hackers breach government with Log4Shell.
Industry news.
More than half of Black Friday spam emails are scams.
Industry news.
Hundreds of Amazon RDS snapshots discovered leaking users' data.
Industry news.
Zeus botnet suspected leader arrested in Geneva.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge,
if true.
Immense.
So I'm looking at this story about Euro authorities warning World Cup fans over Qatari apps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like there's not any other countries that they should be warning people about, right?
No. Oh, exactly. So I clicked on this. Majority of companies reduce cybersecurity staff over holidays.
Wow, shock horror.
I know. This is like, do you reckon marketing, like, industry rags have the same sort of story? Like, majority of companies reduce marketing staff over holidays.
Exactly, yeah.
Or Catering Weekly.
Maybe that's a good experiment. Maybe Host Unknown Research Division should come up with these stories, like, from security, but apply it to a different industry. Say, like, developers are, you know, reduced over holidays, and developer burnout is a real thing, and developers are less likely to...
Chief head of development suffer from stress.
Head chefs.
Yeah.
Oh, HR Weekly. Yeah. Heads of HR suffer from stress and burnout.
Yeah.
I love so this. More than half of Black Friday spam emails are scams. I mean, yes. Yeah. Obviously.
Wow. No.
Groundbreaking. Do you know what? Like the other day, actually, I was in the kitchen and like I was reading like my emails, and I've been looking at air fryers recently, and I've been thinking, do I get one? You know, I'm thinking, wait for the Black Friday sales, and it's like, do I really? I've been thinking like for the last year whether or not to get one, and at that time, as I was standing up, I like pressed my phone, I was looking at my email, an email came in, and it said something like 20% off, like Ninja. Air fryer, and I was like, oh crap, like, you know, that's the type of thing I'm waiting for. But as I stood up, like, the email disappeared. And I was like, oh shit, you know, did I, you know, like you shake your phone to sort of undo archive and stuff like that. I'm like, what happened? Anyway, couldn't get it back. And later that day, I was like, actually, let me check my spam folder. It was actually a spam email. And so it'd come into my inbox and then got moved to junk. Yep. But it was one of those things. Like, I was desperately thinking about buying one. It was very timely. It came in. And I'm sure I would have figured out it was spam, you know, had I clicked on a link and it took me to, you know, some Chinese website. However, you know, I don't think everyone would have had that presence of mind. But I was very close to thinking I had a bargain in my mailbox.
Mm. Mm. And I have to say, a bit of consumer advice, those Ninja air fryers are really good. They are definitely worth the hype. I've had one for a couple of years and it is brilliant.
What happened after a couple of years?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there's going to be a negative story to the end.
No, it's really good. It's got the air fry, it's got the bake, it's got everything, like, safe enough for the kids to, well, not really safe enough for the kids to use, but I'll get them to use it anyway, make their own pizzas in it and what have you. It's
just keep your head out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, I on the stories, going back to the story, the Zeus botnet suspected leader arrested in Geneva. And unfortunately, it's not the Australian task force that have taken him down. So I think that was a quick win they could have had there to set themselves off on
it's
the
a
right.
Show. I just want to see, you know, when they arrest them and they walk them off, I just want to see somebody, you know, cable ties behind his back being walked off by two kangaroos.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see like a kangaroo come out the crowd in like a hat and an overcoat and just sort of like, you know, pull a gun out and shoot him dead.
And the hat has got corks on it.
Yeah.
And he's called Bruce.
Yeah, and he skulls a can of Foster's and then he pops off.
I was in Australia in the early 90s and with a friend of the family's and this guy's name, swear to God, was Bill Blood. B-L-O-O-D. I mean, do you think possibly his forebears may have been pirates?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Bill Bloody Blood.
Yeah. Anything else here? US Iranian hackers breached government with log4 shell. I'm not sure if that's a business as usual or Why is the US falling for simple vulnerabilities?
Yeah, well, this is actually an alert from CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which was set up about 4 years ago.
I thought they were
ago.
Auditors.
Yeah. this could be one of those, you know, like a lot of success is based on, you know, just making sure your name's out there and, you know, not necessarily saying anything particularly useful.
I wonder if CISA would.
Well, exactly. And so I'm just thinking, maybe CISA is saying, look, you know, this stuff's happening out there. Patch your vulnerabilities, people.
Yeah. Good. Well, I think that's it because Jav's gone quiet as well. So that was this week's
industry news.
This is the Host Unknown podcast, home of Billy Big Ball Energy.
Right, Andy, we're going to hand it over to you to take the show home with this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
And I shall take us home with this one. And because you've played that jingle twice, I'm going to give you two for the price of one.
Yay!
The first tweet is just because all the doom and gloom surrounding Twitter at the moment. So I picked out a tweet from Jericho at Attrition. And he says, I don't care if Twitter lives or dies. On the off chance it does, InfoSec is full of scumbags. By that, I mean to a degree a lot more than people realise or want to admit. Integrity is a core part of InfoSec in theory, but not in reality as far as practitioners go.
Wow. Strong words. Wow.
Very strong words. Yeah. But,
and I'm not
going to
disagree with him in case he puts me on his website. Nope.
Right,
exactly.
Errata.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's I think every industry's got its fair share of bad apples, and every industry's got its fair share of pretenders. You know, you get the right PR people, you market yourself properly, and you too can be a success.
Yeah, and I'm not sure this, you know, integrity is a core part of InfoSec. Well, I'm sure of that in theory,
it's
but not
literally the I in CIA, Tom.
Yeah, I know. Okay, but in it says in theory, but in reality, as far as practitioners go, I think it's purely the medium pulls out the scumbag in people. But that's the same across all industries and all walks of life.
Absolutely. And I think it's a very much, again, it's like many things, it's a very US-centric point of view. You know, you look in the UK, most people who I've worked with in organisations, they're not on Twitter. And secondly, a lot of them are genuinely just decent people, come in, do a good job, and then go home and have a life outside of security.
Yeah. You're talking about me, aren't you?
No, I'm you two. You two represent the scumbaggery part of InfoSec that I agree with.
Yeah. Well, no. The thing is, on British Twitter, there's an awful lot of after you.
Cool. Thanks for keeping that story, Tom.
Sorry, I just had a coughing fit there, so I muted first. Gonna have to cut this part out. Anyway, our second tweet is, because the first one was US-centric, this one is going to be British-centric. And this is from Very British Problems. And they say, finding out you're wanted for tax evasion via a phone call from an automated recording of an electronic voice with an American accent. Classic HMRC. And if you live in the UK, you will have received this phone call. Obviously a scam, but I thought that one was very relatable.
I've received them even in a British accent.
Yeah. And not a recording.
No, that's someone from HMRC.
Yeah, Jeff, that was actually, I think we knew what happened with that one.
Oh, man. Brilliant. Thank you, Andy, for this week's
Tweet of the Week.
So, we've come through it, and just in time for Jav to make his 10 o'clock call, which is all the better. So, yes, gentlemen, thank you so much for this show. Jav, thank you for your contributions and for agreeing with everything I said.
Yes, you're welcome.
And Andy, thank you.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
Well, you're talking of smashing security. Isn't it about time they went on holiday for Christmas break?
Well, I hope not, because I'm going on in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I thought they normally leave about Thanksgiving and come back at Easter.
Jeez. Oh, I don't know.
I've never actually listened to their podcast, so I have no idea.
That's an outrageous thing to say, Jav, especially from one of our, well, only sponsors.
We took the money. We said their name on air. What else? It's not like we got married or anything.